Blog Talk Radio.
IWFSA On Air Radio, and this is Diane Burleson. I'm one of the regular hosts, along with Nancy Werns, who unfortunately Nancy will not be able to make tonight, but we have two special guests who are going to join us, and that would be Georgian Lewis, who is an official from Rhode Island, and Lori Taibond, a player, MC, announcer for us in Key West, and me, moi. So anyway, before we begin and before our guests arrive, I want to thank Lynn Milano from New York and Suzanne Blum Grenjensen from Chicago and Diana Royavav from Key West because they almost made it. They tried very hard. They didn't make it on tonight's show, but they were so sorry. They wanted to, and anyway, I just give them a shout-out. Okay. So anyway, for the next hour, IWFFA on air radio, I want to remind our listeners we're on every third Thursday of each month from 9 to 10 p.m. That's Eastern time or longer, depending on how good and interesting the show is. We've been on, we've had some shows where it's gone on and on, an hour and a half, 2 hours. But tonight's show, I think we're going to limit it to 1 hour. We'll see. If it gets lively and it's fun, it's up to us. And I want to thank BJ, who's a wonderful host for us. She monitors our airwaves and makes it all possible for women's football talk radio, and cahoots out to BJ. So anyway, I want to explain to our listeners that you can join our conversation two ways. You can click on our website, IWFFA.com, and on our homepage, the second link from the bottom, you're going to see our link, IWFFA Radio Show. Just click. Go to the page. You'll see what topics we're going to discuss for the next show. And then you'll see another link where you can actually click to log on. And when you click on that second link, you can either sign in if you've already registered with Blog Talk Radio, or you can register. And once you register, you can join us in the chat room. So that is one way for you to join us in our conversations. Also, you could just dial, use the phone, and the number for the dial-in call-in is 347-826-7278. So that's 347-826-7278. Okay. So tonight we're going to talk about just a few things, and then we can expand on those topics. It's going to be what makes a good tournament. We would like for you to share some of your stories for some bad tournament experiences. And I definitely have a lot of info on those. I've been doing these tournaments. Let's see, the Kelly McGillis Classic. We're coming up on our 20th this February in Key West. Oslo, Norway, 11 years. Gothenburg, Sweden, 10. You're in Denmark. I don't actually do that tournament, but I've done many tournaments across the U.S., circuit of IWFA tournaments, so I got a lot of bad stories to share, and I got a lot of great stories to share, too, so I don't mind sharing with everyone. And then also we're going to talk about our Forward Pass magazine. Now, that Forward Pass magazine just came out a few days ago, and that was a two-year production, 2 years in the making. It really is an annual magazine. You know what happens here in the IWFFA? We get so busy. There was just a small nucleus of women. Now we've expanded it to more than a dozen, our new committee, since we've taken on this new campaign to professionalized women's flag football and restructuring the organization to better support teams and leagues across the United States. We're focusing for 2011 and, of course, our international teams and leagues. But that Forward Pass, I got to say, is really a beautiful production. And I have to give special thanks to Rosaria Baldari. She happens to be the IWFFA graphic artist. Rory, that's her nickname, Rory designs all the logos, all of our tournament programs, magazines, posters, flyers, brochures, etc. And she really makes us look professional. So if you're interested, if you can hear us and you don't have the Forward Pass magazine, you can click right now on our website and download it to your computer. Okay, I'll tell you, IWFFA.com, go to the second link, About Us. When you click on that link, about the middle of the page, you'll see the Forward Pass, and you can download all of our issues from past years, but the ones the current issue is the 2009-2010. And I'm going to give you some of the stories that we have and go over that with you. I'm supposed to mention this, by the way, the Forward Pass. I myself didn't think to talk about this, but Nance Werns, who's not here tonight, reminded me that we must talk about the Forward Pass because she was floored. She thought that it was beautiful. I've gotten from the hundreds so far of people who have read our Forward Pass, I would say emailed to our office is probably about 30-40 comments, and that's really profound because it's one thing when you read a nice piece of literature. It's another thing when you take the time to comment on it, and we definitely appreciate the comments. One criticism that was on the spelling of a word, on a name rather, and we said we're going to have add a section for our next year's issue, corrections. But here's some of the stories, the articles, and then I'm going to read to you our wonderful writers. So we have a story in the winter 2010 issue for India. And I don't know if you listeners know, but we have a group of women coming to Key West from India, which is a third world country, to learn how to play flag football. Now, right now, this group, they don't even have a football, and we've sent them a football. It's funny how it's taken like 2 months for that little football to make it over there. But anyway, so they're using a rugby ball in the meantime. So anyway, they're coming to Key West a week before the tournament, and we're going to train them. We're going to teach them how to play, and they're going to compete in the tournament in the beginners division. And that's what makes the tournament so wonderful, is that you have a breakdown of the divisions. And then in 2012, we're going to follow up and go to India. But in the meantime, these women are going to teach the men how to play football. And I just love that. I love the fact that IWFFA is willing to travel all over the world. You know, last year we were supposed to take a tour over to Ghana, Africa. We were contacted by a fellow. We were his last resort. He contacted NFL, Pee Wee Football, all these organizations for boys tackle football and flag football across the U.S. And this guy finally found us, and he asked if we would be willing to go to Ghana to train and teach them how to play tackle football. And so I explained to him, you know, flag football is our thing. And so then I further explained to him that we would teach the girls and the women, and they could teach the boys and the men. And he went for it. He was into it. Unfortunately, this summer, it didn't pan out. I couldn't go to Ghana, and that was sad. But anyway, so this Indian group, what will happen after the Key West tournament, they're coming, and the women will teach the boys and the men and girls and women how to play flag football in India. And then in 2012, the IWFFA, we are going to India, and we're going to kick butt. We're going to really introduce the sport and help them start teams and leagues. And I got to give special credit to Deepish Solanki. This is my contact. Now, this is a fellow who reached out to us a while ago. And if it wasn't for him, these women would not be traveling to Key West and for the IWFFA to go to India. So, Deepish, much gratitude for you in making it all happen. And for anyone out there who'd like to help this team, once they come over, the IWFFA supports them. We provide the hotel, the equipment, registration, training, as much as we can. But those airline tickets, that is a hard, that's a hard one. So if anyone out there has extra airline miles, there are some people out there who has a lot of airline miles. Please, if you would contribute to this team to help them, bring their whole team. There's 13 of them that are going to travel. They definitely could use that support. That would be wonderful. And then the IWFFA, we would support you. We would, you'd be a sponsor of the team, and we would do anything for you. We would do as much as we can to support you. So anyway, so continuing with this Forward Pass magazine. That is one story in the magazine issue, and that was written by Georgianne Lewis, who writes beautiful. And where is she, by the way? Wow, Georgianne. I guess, you know what? She got tied up, her battery went dead or whatever, but her and Lauren, Lori Taiban, perhaps some point during the show they'll join, but that's okay. I got no problem talking, as you can notice. You've noticed already. Okay. The Kelly McGillis Classic gave rise to women's tackle. And you know what? I'm going to open up this story. I'm going to go there. I'm going to the next page on this one. That's a very interesting story. You know what? Lynn Lewis wrote that story. She was a flag football player years ago from Brooklyn, New York. She ended up getting more involved with tackle. I don't know if her team from New York is coming to Key West or not. They say they are. By the way, it's still not too late to join the Kelly McGillis Classic if you want to bring a team in. It is going to be late registration, but But you're more than welcome. December 31st closes the tournament to any team. And we welcome loose women. If you're an individual player, you don't have a team, and you want to play in this tournament, we got a team for you. It's called the Loose Women's Team. And that was something that the IWFFA thought of years ago that I think it's brilliant. And guess who thought of that? And I tell all the different sports leagues that for different sports, you know, that they should use the same concept because our loose women have been firecrackers, to say the least. Okay. So Lynn Lewis wrote this story about flag football. I mean, our tournament, the Kelly McGillis Classic, flag football, gave rise to today's women's tackle. Boom. And when she came up with this topic, now I can't remember. Did I ask her to write an article? Did she ask me to submit an article? That I can't remember. But I do remember asking her what topic, what subject she wanted to write about. And she came up with this idea, and I thought, you know what, I didn't realize it. But, you know, back in 1999 and 2001, we had 49 teams from across the U.S., seven different countries, participate in our Key West Kelly McGillis Classic tournament. And Lynn says in this article that in 1999 we had people from tackle coming to this tournament to start recruiting our flag football players. And then I thought, wow. And as a result, Lynn says that the Kelly McGillis Classic flag football actually gave rise to today's women's tackle. And I'll tell you a little bit more. For decades, this women's tackle has tried to establish itself, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, 90s, geez, for all these decades. And it wasn't until the 21st century, 2000, that it stuck. And it is true. We fed their teams with flag football players. And I will say that a lot of the flag football players who signed up with the tackle, well, a lot of them had to commit. They couldn't play flag football. So the downside was that we lost a lot of players and teams to tackle. But the good side, the upside is that they came back better players. So what seems to be happening is that after some years, these tackle women come back to the flag and they that higher skill level definitely is seen on the field. Okay, so back to the Forward Pass magazine. Then we have an article about, and there's much more in that article, by the way. That story that Lynn Lewis wrote is pages long, so you can hear what she thinks about that. Okay. Norway's newest team. This is a great story, and this was narrated by a woman, Tonya, who is one of the original Glimstad Octopussy's flag football team. That's a new region of Norway where we introduced flag football this past summer during our promotional tour. And she was there with Coach Åsa. Now, listen, this was one of those corrections that I have to make in the next Forward Pass edition, so I better say her name right. Let's see now. Åsa Marie Eriksson. And you know what? That's not the right Åsa. I could tell you right now because this Åsa lives in Oslo. Oh, man. I still can't get the name right. But anyway, Åsa is the coach from the Glimstad Octopussies, and she went to this training. This is a brand-new team. They just learned how to play. And they managed to go to a school in England set and teach other phys ed teachers so that they could in turn teach their students all across the Norwegian schools. How brilliant was that? And how gutsy these two women were. I'm just going to say Åsa. That's all I'm going to say, Åsa. and Tanya. And so anyway, that's a great story, and you could see photos and the whole training, and this is what it's all about, people. This is what the IWSA is all about. You know, I know that there's a lot of sports leagues out there. They want to know who's the best team. A lot of teams want to compete. They want to win. But I just want to make it clear. We happen to get those players and those teams, but really the philosophy of the IWSA is that we're an organization run by women, for women and girls, to use this sport as a vehicle to empower, to teach females the skills so that they can transfer to other areas of their lives to better compete with the men in the business and the social and the political world, so that we can have female influence in world affairs and one day peace. And that's in a nutshell. And so we use flag football because it is a great game, because you have the blocking, you have that direct confrontation, the challenge that all girls and women should really practice and transfer to other parts of their in their world, you know, you can imagine. And the skills, the team camaraderie, you know, you're in the huddle, the QB gives the play, you're taking direction from another woman. And I know in the workplace that women taking directions from a female boss can sometimes be rough, and et cetera, et cetera. And truly that's the philosophy of the IWSA. That's why we go around to all these different countries. And it's interesting, too, what we have created, because, first of all, I myself have been playing since 1978, okay, and these days I'm mostly coaching and organizing, but I would say for a good 32 years I was playing, and I've learned so much from the Scandinavians, you know, and all of us. Now, I can't wait to go into India. I'm going, and we welcome anyone who wants to join us in the promotional tour. It's hard work. There is so much satisfaction. It is a wonderful experience. You will never forget. And I look forward to finding out what the Indians from India are going to teach us, you know, and not just other countries, but other leagues. And, you know, for 2011, the IWSA campaign for 2011, we travel 2 months across the United States with our promotional tour. We are working to support teams and leagues that are existing. We want to create new teams and leagues. And I'm sure we're going to find out an awful lot from those leagues, from the women. And, you know, we're not dictators here in the IWSA. We really embrace any woman who wants to be a part of our organization. And it's lovely. It really is, because I myself, I can't do this forever. I'm getting ready to head out. And before I go, I just want to say that the organization is well-structured. And I think with our new committee, our dozen women, that it's the beginning of something really, really big. And so as we conduct our two-month promotional tour across the U.S., offering play football clinics to any group of girls or women, and we are working to sanction leagues, because that's going to be very significant, because the more sanctioned leagues we put under our belt shows that we really are bona fide and desired, and we're doing the right thing. And it is going to be very exciting for sure. And so it is an umbrella organization for girls and women's flag football. It is an international organization. So where in the world is Georgian? Georgia and Lori, you know what? You know what I probably did? I probably gave them the wrong phone number. That would not surprise me. But anyway, let me continue. Okay. Also in the Forward Pass magazine, IWSA strives to bring flag football to the next level. And that is exactly what I just started to touch upon. And you know what? You all should definitely read this Forward Pass magazine just for that article and for all the information that's in this issue, 2 years in the making. Another article, Eye on Glenstad Octopussies and the New Jersey Girls Power Time Team. And those are two teams that were highlighted from our 2010 promotional tour, and you're going to read why. And there's some photos there, and they were all the groups involved with that 2010 promotional tour were phenomenal. So it was a tour for 2 months in Scandinavia. Well, actually not Scandinavia, Norway and Sweden. We didn't travel to Denmark. We focused on Norway and Sweden. We started 7 new teams. And it was because we had a leader, a female, taking the lead for her city. And it was wonderful. It was just a wonderful flag football and a wonderful experience for all that was involved. And so that's a great story to read in the Forward Past magazine issue. Another story, raising the goalposts for flag football. Uh-huh. That is something that we all need to do. We need to raise the goal for the flag football. And share a smile for a day. This is a sweet little story written by Dr. Doris Brown. This woman is in her 90s. And she's been following the IWFFA for all these years. And she submits her articles to us. She loves us. We love her. And she, expressed the importance of just sharing a smile with another human being. It's a nice, it's a very nice piece. Then we have in this issue, we have listed... Well, wait a second. We have a great issue that we're really going to expand upon. And now I need everyone to listen and pay attention to this section of the magazine. Founding Mothers, Unsung Heroes. That's something that we should have been doing a long time ago. And this is women who started Women's or Girls Flag Football League. And... I can tell you that it is tremendous work and effort, and a lot of women who have done this in the past, whether the league exists still today or if it folded for whatever reason, we want to know out there, no matter where you are, what country, we want to know who your founding mother was, and we want to make sure that she gets the recognition. And we did 2 stories for the Forward Path magazine issue. I'm one of the founding mothers. That was easy because I could just dictate. I was interviewed by Rosaria Baldari. She interviewed me and wrote the piece. And then we had Stephanie Vignault from Canada. And, oh, I'm drinking water here. We had gotten the story from one of her players, and let me just take a look at this, I'm looking up her name, Vignette, Virginie Roberge. So that was really not close to Vignette. Okay, Virginie Roberge and myself, the two of us collaborated, and we wrote this piece about Stephanie Vignault, who over there in Montreal, Canada, started her league with 5 teams, and now she has 3 leagues, 55 teams. That's a great story. So that's also in the issue of the Forward Pass magazine. Porter Wilson Awards, 2008, 2009. Porter Wilson was the founder of Flagitag Company, and years ago, him and Madeline, his significant other, they were our first sponsors back in the early years for the Key West Tournament, the Kelly McGillis Classic, and very, very beautiful people, and they supported us for all these years. You know, when we go on the promotional tours, they would give us belts and flags, so that we can give them to new teams when we travel, which is very nice. But he passed away. And also, Porter Wilson, he was the one who designed the belts and flags. You know, it's interesting because there's a few men who take credit for developing flag football, the sport as it exists today. So that could be argued. I understand that Porter Wilson created the sport as it exists today because, you know, the history, thousands of years, they've been, the game stems from, well, like thousands of years ago. You know, the Vikings, when they would invade England, they were rough and tough. They killed. They pillaged. They were not welcome in England, to say the least. They were barbaric. And, you know, they were so poorly written. Those Vikings had such a bad reputation. And I'll tell you why. Because it was the monks was one of the places. They knew to go to the churches where the gold was. And just so happens that the monks in those days were one of the few groups of people who knew how to write. So as they would murder and pillage and steal the gold and whatever, I think that was the norm of those days, you'd have a monk or two who would write about it, who witnessed and gave the Vikings a bad rep. And but it happened, but they did that. They were brutal. And they also had there's more to their history. But so 1,000 years ago, something like that, when the Vikings invaded England, finally the Brits, they kicked the butts of the Vikings. And was it Eric the Red? No, I don't think it was Eric the Red. He was something in Iceland. But anyway, one of the big Viking guys, they got him, and they cut his head off. And they were so happy that they were kicking his head around and around and around. And they would kick the head up the street and down the street and across the village. And that was the beginning of rugby. That was the beginning of soccer, or football they call in the rest of the world. And that was the beginning of our flag football, kind of. And so anyway, Porter Wilson, now let's bring it up to speed, okay? Fast pace. Porter Wilson, in the 50s, he was a phys ed teacher, and his boys, you know, would play tackle football, and it was a bit too rough for him. So when he saw a play in which one of the boys being tackled, his shirt was torn, Porter decided to use that as something to grab. And so he had just simply had like handkerchiefs hung from the waists. And so instead of tackling, he told his students, grab the handkerchief. And so that's his description of founding the sport the way it exists today. And he followed through. He developed the belts and flags. And at first he used Velcro, but, you know, in the rain and the snow, they don't do so good. And he realized that he needed to create more of a challenge for the defender. And it's down to a science. As a matter of fact, Ed Gonzalez, one of our teams that plays with the IWFFA, he's from the Blue Wave team. He really brought it down to a science and described, like, these belts and flags, how you preserve them, best to preserve them and take care of them. But Porter designed the flags then, the ball and socket, which were the belts and flags that we use, to make a pop sound, and that they would have 7 pounds of pullage. And I never heard of the word pullage before until Porter explained to me, and he really was fascinating. I'll tell you something very interesting. Well, he was a scientist. He was a developer, you know. He designed those belts and flags, but he loved the women, and he really supported us. And so so when he passed away in 2000, we owe so much to him, really. And so we designed this Porter Wilson Award. Now, anyone is welcome to nominate, male or female or male. You have until December 31st. If you go to our page, IWFFA.com, about us, and you look down that page, you'll see the Porter Wilson Award, or you could just email our office. And our email address is iwffa@iwffa.com. That's easy. Guess what the telephone number is? 888-GO-IWFFA. And our website, of course, is iwffa.com. And guess what we print on our shirts? So anyway, I think I'm getting delirious here. Where is Georgian? I'm going to kill her. Anyway, you can nominate someone for the Porter Wilson 2010 Award. And it goes to someone who has done so much for flag football in your city, whether it's for girls or women. And we take nominations until December 31st. And then we announce in the February Kelly McGillis Classic tournament, and we give out those awards. So that is also in the Forward Pass magazine. And then you also have all the awards, MVPs, All-Stars, how the teams ranked for the tournament for year 2009, 2010, and all that is found in our Forward Pass magazine. Okay, now. I want to also say, let me check the chat room here. Oh, Georgia. Georgia,
yes,
are you there?
Darling, I'm here. I've been trying to get you to cut you off. I was running late. Sorry, I got hung up on a family function. And I've been trying to cut you off, but you're just doing so splendidly.
Oh, man. You know what it is? I had the Forward Pass issue in front of my screen on the computer. And when
I've been trying to figure out how to get on, and I'm like, what the hell?
Did I give you the wrong number?
No. You gave me the right number. I've been listening to you talk, but I tried to talk back a couple times, and you didn't respond. So then I've been trying to, like, blog you, and I'm, like, just trying to figure that whole process out. But I'm here now.
All right, listen. Well,
sorry
I just
about
went
that.
Over the okay. Well, listen, thank God you got on, because I don't know how I was going to have a conversation with myself, although I'm sure I could have handled it.
Well, I just learned a lot about Porter and flag pressure stuff.
Okay, listen, let me introduce you. This is Georgian Lewis. She is one of the best IWFFA officials, truly. Georgian and her crew from Rhode Island, she officiates the Rhode Island League, and the crew came down to the P-Town tournament. They did the Ellen dance with everybody. I think the official, didn't you guys win all of those contests that we had each night?
I actually won three of them, yes.
I know. I got to tell you something. You know, Joey, who helped me, Joey, thank God, I love Joey. He helps with the social events. He's crazy and wild and fun. He was complaining to me. He didn't want to, I'll share with you because I think this is funny. He didn't want to give you officials the prizes. Did you know that?
No, I know, because I think we were the only one that did that pub crawl thing that got all the bars to sign off and, yeah, he wouldn't give it to us, but that's all right. We won the pool. It was actually just me. I won the pool tournament and, I don't know, some dance and something else. I forget.
No, listen. No, there was.
I can't help it if I'm extroverted.
There was a couple of teams in that bar crawl, but, no, he thought because you guys are officials, and I said, no, Joey. No, they are. They're part of the team here. So, anyway. But, anyway, Georgian, how are you doing tonight?
I'm well. Sounds like you've been doing a splendid job going through some of the Forward Pass features and talking about the founder of Flag Attack.
Yeah, the Porter Wilson Award that we're still taking nominations for. Did you ever meet the Wilsons? Did you ever meet Porter?
I did not, no.
Okay. They came down to the Key West tournament, too. And, well, they really are beautiful people, I'll tell you. You know,
yeah, it sounds like it.
No, they're wonderful. So anyway, I put that out there for any nominations for the 2010 Porter Wilson Award. So listen, Georgia, now I would like to talk about the tournament because in our topics of conversation was the Forward Pass magazine, which we really just covered everything. But you know what? Let me just give a fast to our committee, okay? Can I just, first of all, the writers, and by the way, our wonderful writers for the Forward Pass. I want to give special thanks to Georgian Lewis, Georgian who wrote beautiful articles. You're a very good writer, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Pamela Walker, Tonya Hogan, Lynn Lewis, Dr. Doris Brown, 90 plus years old, Janet Boder, Rosaria Baldari, Diane Burleson, moi. And before I forget, I want to thank also our new committee of women who are dedicated women and helped this IWFFA take its new direction to, we've done an awful lot of work the last few months. You have to admit, now, Georgia, what the IWFFA has done the last few months, have
remarkable.
You noticed?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's remarkable.
So,
you guys are definitely on a roll. Forward progress
yeah.
is in motion.
Yeah, and you know, let me just quickly, before I forget, because we're going to get in a good conversation now, I want to give special thanks to Nance Wern, Allison Woods, Rigmore Bronx, you, Georgian Lewis, Hillary Sinclair, Tamalyn Walker, Lanny Johansson, Mary Angelini, Rosaria Baldari, Jeanette Gersrud, Jeanette Meir, Ricky Sorensen, and Stephanie Vignault, because that is, and also I should put out, any woman who would like to join our committee, you are more than welcome. We've got, we embrace every woman who wants to help our organization. So listen now, Georgia.
Yes.
What makes a good tournament, okay?
What makes a good tournament?
Yeah, now listen, you can be thoughtful. You can, if you have pause in between your thoughts and you need to find specific words, take your time. What makes a good tournament?
Well, I think at least, like, I mean, I can only speak for myself and my personal experiences playing down there multiple times when I used to play.
As a player, as a coach,
I've coached several tournaments down there. This will be my first year officiating down there, which I'm excited about. But for me, one of the things that's always drawn me to the IWFS is the sense of community and camaraderie. It's always sports. Everybody gives best. Everybody plays their best. Everybody plays their hardest. But at the end of the game, it's just a game, and everyone kind of has beer or soda or hangs out around the pool, and you know, the next day goes out in the field and plays 100% again. And that's kind of always been what's drawn me to the traveling, getting involved in IWFA besides, you know, at our state level, which Rounds, as I don't need to tell most of you, is a tiny little state. So our league's not very big, but nonetheless, we've enjoyed traveling and participating, and at least for me, getting the opportunity to play with women of various levels of talent and learning from others' experiences and the way they play the game and their takes on the game, and just it's a great learning experience, but it's also it's very empowering because it's kind of, you know, you can get out there and get dirty and get sweaty, and it's okay.
You know what, Georgian, I got to say something. I'm 51. I'm older. I remember when I was a younger player in any of my sports, everything that you described was happening to me. And you know when you're young and you move fast and you kind of
don't really
don't take everything all in. When
this
you're so young, I think, and this, you could be in your 20s and your 30s, you know, and or even your 40s, but I think that a lot of the younger athletes, I think it's impossible. I would be so profound to say, I think it's impossible for them to appreciate these experiences, whether it's IWFA tournaments or any experience that they have, until they're older. Because I reflect now, I got to tell you, I reflect now, and I think about the things that I've done, my experiences, and I'm floored. I mean, now, in my days, I look back, now I truly appreciate those things. And you know, for these IWFA tournaments, I think because we do not focus on the number one team, you know, we give the teams the most number of games they can, we can give.
Right.
And we divide them into the different divisions. Well, that's with the Key West, you know, when we can. I think that really makes a big difference to make as fair competition as possible. I'll tell you a bad experience. We're going to talk about what makes a good tournament. and what makes a bad tournament, or not even a bad tournament, but just some bad experience.
I just want to add to that point you made. I absolutely agree with you, because I think if you asked me that question 15 years ago when I started in the sport, my answer would have been very different. And I was most athletic in my graduating class. I have been in sports since I could walk, and you're absolutely right. And definitely, I think it's true with most things in life. Appreciation comes with experience.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say age. I'm going to say experience.
Okay, experience. And, you know, we're also that camaraderie. You know, we intentionally do the social events so that teams can party the night before, and that means when they meet each other on the field the next day, it definitely is a much friendlier game.
Yes.
Definitely. And can I tell you why I know that?
Why? Because everyone's just as equally hungover?
No, because there was a league many, many years ago. I first started playing in the Long Island League. Now, listen, as a matter of fact, you know what? They don't exist today. I'm not saying anything bad, but I'll just tell you one, it was a wonderful league, Long Island League.
Right.
And if it wasn't for Long Island League, there would not be the Brooklyn Women's Flag Football League, and there wouldn't be boom, 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 whatever. Anyway, all the teams would go back to one bar. And what a ball we had. And so for the first few years, everybody went back to the same bar, and the games were great, et cetera. Now, all of a sudden, the teams realized that if they would approach a different bar and say to the owner, would you sponsor our team, and then after the games, we'll come back and drink at your bar. You know, it was a good deal. So that league started to have different sponsors, and the teams stopped going to one bar, and they started going to their own bar. And, Georgia, talk about tough play. Whoa, man, it was really tough. And so that socialization really is very important. Some coaches, they think it distracts their team, their players. As a matter of fact, some coaches have rules. The guy from Finland would not let their coach, their players,
I played with coaches like that. And honestly, our Rhode Island League can be like that. They tend to segregate, and everybody kind of has traditionally gone to their own place to hang out, and they're starting to get better at being more community-oriented. And I agree, it's definitely an obstacle, and it hurts the forward momentum of any sport, but especially with women, because I think we're a unique breed.
I think, Georgia, we have to understand that we definitely need to support ourselves. We need to bond. I don't care if we're different leagues, if we're different organizations, if we're using different rules, whatever. We really need to support one another and reach out. Your Rhode Island women were out in P-Town having a good time.
Oh, yeah. They're a great bunch of girls. They really are.
Okay.
And as a league, we've had turnovers in leaderships, and I think probably one of the best things that happened is we don't have one person per se running the league anymore. It's kind of been a more of a group venture, which has kind of forced that socialization process that you're talking about. And I think the more that continues to evolve, that the stronger the league will get and hopefully, you know, expand. We at one point had six teams. You know, we've been playing with four for I don't know how many years now, but we still have those four teams every year, and we still play, and we still have fun, and we still travel. And, I think that speaks volumes to the dedication of the people that do have been the glue to the league and held it together.
Now, you said that when you delegate, you spread out. It's not one person, but it's a handful of people that's running the league now. Is that what you just said?
Yeah. You know, I kind of keep all the refs together, and, you know, we have meetings before the season and go over the rules, and I do all that part, and then somebody else is in charge of getting the field permits, and somebody else is in charge of making sure rosters and league fees and stuff, and things like
and
that.
We've
had more of, after the games are over, everybody kind of goes to the same place and hang out instead of, like you said, going different places. And definitely, I can see a slow but positive shift in the right direction, at least that's what I've always hoped the league would evolve to be over the years since we started it. So,
in Scandinavia, the IWFFA Nordic region, it's the three countries that's involved, Norway, Sweden, Denmark. We have, each country has a representative, and we have an annual meeting. And the Scandinavians, they have decided that they'd like to do a few things different for their tournaments. And you know what? As long as we have a consensus, we abide by it. The IWFA is just the umbrella organization. And
right.
for our American listeners out there, you too can be part of the steering committee. And that's something that we are striving for, sanctioning leagues. One person from your league would be a member of the steering committee, which sets goals and direction for the IWFA, and it's happening now, 2011. We begin to sanction leagues, so I have to get that in there, Georgia. Listen, tell me another good or bad tournament experience. Let's hear something juicy.
Tell me another what?
Tell me another good or bad tournament experience, something that's juicy.
Oh, well, I have to say, and I don't know if it was an I. Did you guys do an event in Tampa? Yeah.
In Tampa?
Yeah.
Not in Tampa, but that's okay.
Well,
it doesn't have to be one.
Well, it was
a
non-I. Well, this was not a good experience, so it speaks volumes to what you've accomplished over the years. It was one of the first years I'd stopped playing and started coaching. We had put together a tournament team, so myself and a gentleman would coach the team. We traveled to Key West. We went to Tampa. We went up to the Canadian tournament, tournament in Canada. We went to Provincetown. But when we went in that Tampa tournament, I wish I could remember who was the sponsor. It was the worst experience of our life. I think in the first 5 minutes of the game, we had three girls out injured. And by injured, I mean dislocated shoulders, broken fingers. Talk about a bloodbath. And it was funny because everybody stayed at the same place. We all played at the same place. Everybody socialized. But there was no sense of camaraderie or sportsmanship on the field. And I think that is something that IWFFA has always been good at fostering. And I think in any sport, that's essential. But I think especially you know, when people take themselves a little bit too seriously and you don't have that balance between good competitive play and sportsmanship, things can get ugly.
Yes.
So that was probably my only bad story I've ever had as far as football goes is that tournament was horrific.
It was,
not to mention it was 30 degrees when we got off the plane. We weren't expecting that either.
Well, let me ask you something. If you're playing a game against another team and you've just scored like six touchdowns, and they're not doing anything, what's your game plan when you realize that?
Me as a coach, I would have my third string in because.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of people in my league at home that would disagree with me, and I've watched it happen as an official. They'll just keep running the other team into the ground. I think that's counterproductive. When I coach kids in sports, I take the same approach as when I do adults. If you're beating someone that badly, we've already established that you're the stronger team. I think at that point, now it becomes a personal type of humiliation. You're kind of taking away from what the intent of the game is. And, you know, that's when you give your maybe less accomplished players or your newer players a chance to get their feet wet, to learn the game, to make their mistakes, to get their bumps and bruises, and for it to be a safe, okay time to do it where they don't feel like they're, you know, causing a loss or being the one that caused that winning touchdown. And you're also giving the other chance the team to have, you know, save some face and to, you know,
step up their level of play. Yeah, you know what? And we've got those players who run up the score, and that's fine. That's okay. That's part of sports. And but me personally, when I'm playing against a very weak team, you know, it's no fun. You know, that challenge. I think the best feeling, excitement, satisfaction, euphoria is when the game is tight. Or when you just scored against a team who you're not supposed to score against. But, you know, it's very different than when you score against a team who is your creaming, you know.
Right.
So, but I want to tell you, years ago we used to do double elimination for the Key West tournament, and that was murder. Because if you had your first game with a loss, which St. Louis, Michelob Light, they fell in that loser's bracket. First of all the teams had to stay on the field for the whole entire weekend. You didn't know when your next game was because it depended who would win, who would lose. And this team, I swear to God, it was in one day. wait a second. I don't know if I can swear to God. I'm so positive though. I think they played seven games in one day. They played seven games in one day. But listen, when they
I know our first day down, we played like four in one day and like six the next, and I personally was in tears. Like, how am I going to drag myself back on the field? I like was physically just exhausted.
Was that a Key West tournament?
That was a Key West tournament, yeah. I think I want to say it was like 204 or 205, somewhere back, 203, somewhere back there.
Then that definitely was the double elimination. And, you know what, 2005, because that's when San Francisco came in, and that was the beginning of the IWFFA. Somebody asked me that year, Diane, where'd you get that San Francisco team? And I said, I don't know. And I said, but you know what, we should have a central women's league football organization. So that was the beginning of this. But, then this St. Louis team, so they, from the losers bracket, they made it into the championship. Now, I'm asking you, Georgia, they made it into the championship game against the team that was brought up from the winning bracket.
Right.
So St. Louis wins. Do they have to play them again because it's a double elimination, or did they win because that was a championship game?
Well, the championship game is one game. They shouldn't have to be play them again.
Unless if
you don't play double elimination in the Super Bowl champ.
So that was a big mistake we did. San Francisco women said, hey, you only had one loss. We only have one loss. We got a double out. And we
ended God.
That I swear to God too. Listen,
ridiculous. That's a cheesy maneuver.
And so we gave them that game. So there was two championship games, and St. Louis finally won. That was justice deserved.
Good for them.
And, so those. Listen, there's actually many, many more stories. But listen, I want to.
I have lots of personal funny stories that I could tell, not about myself, but of calamities that have happened in the interest of socializing and sportsmanship, but I don't want to embarrass any of my players. So,
wait a second. I got to tell you, we are on extended time. You and I, we are going for another half hour. Can we do it?
We can try. Seem to enjoy each other's conversation, so hey, why not?
No, we've got listeners out there. I'm on the chat room, and I can see that we've got a bunch of listeners. They don't have names. It's guests and then numbers. And
see two on mine. I think one of them's me though. I'm not even sure.
Are you behind the phone, behind the computer?
I'm on my phone and on the computer. Because I called in and I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. So then I went and I logged in on Blog Talk Radio, and then whoever's helping you over there is like, hey, Georgian is here, and I'm like, yes, I'm here.
That was
so I guess you saw me come up on the screen.
I go a mile a minute. But listen, any of our people in the chat room, just throw us a comment, your story. We'll read it out loud for everyone else to hear. I was going to tell you another story. What was I thinking? It had to be... Can you talk a little bit, Georgia, while I can remember what it was?
Yeah.
Tell everybody what you're going to school for.
I am going to school for... I'm off until January 9th, and then I have my last two classes, and I will have my master's in child and adolescent psychology, and I will be a child and adolescent mental health counselor. And then summer, I'll be starting my advanced master's working towards my PhD, which is basically five more classes, and then the rest of it's just work hours. And, I'll be licensed. I have to take five more classes in addition on top of my master's, and then do what they call a practicum and an internship to get licensed in my state.
How much are you paying for each of those classes, I wonder?
Way too much.
Yeah, man.
I went to
college.
I'm taking those classes in my home state. Right now I don't go to school in my home state, and each of my classes is well over $5,000. It's 36 credits I had to take, so... It's about $5,000 and change for two classes, I should say, yeah.
For two classes?
Yeah, I do two at a time. I can't remember the specific amount. I want to say it's like five or six and change of credit, something like that. Grad school's not cheap.
Sorry for you. You know what they're doing over in England. They got rioters over there, and I think we should do that too. We should hit the streets when we get screwed the way they got screwed. Their college, their university rates tripled. They not only doubled, they tripled.
Really?
Yeah, listen, I remembered what I was going to share with you, a bad experience, okay. Something that we cleaned up. It was a P-Town tournament, and we had we were bringing up teams from two divisions, two brackets, and we automatically took the top two from each division.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's not so smart. That can sometimes work, but then sometimes it doesn't work because one division was much better than the other division. So
right.
When we automatically brought those top two, we excluded another really good team that was in the same division of. So now what we do is, did I make myself clear? Do you think everyone understood?
Yeah, because when I played,
I
remember we had three divisions. We had a beginners, a competitive, and a highly competitive. So those are a championship in each division.
Yeah.
So is that what you're referring to? Instead of making the championship a pool of each division.
Oh no! I'm talking about I'm talking about one division. But there was two brackets. We had two brackets.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. You divide the division into brackets. Okay.
Yeah. So we had, designed the tournament format to have automatically just take the top two from each bracket. But one of the divisions was very good, and the other division was not so good. So in the championship game, the playoffs, it wasn't so good. So now what we do is, and this is in our IWFFA rule, we rank the teams, and then they go in the playoffs. And
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, so it's and also what we do now that's going into the – well, listen, we modify our rules at the end of each year. They've been pretty much standard the last few years. The last radical change we made was when we included the defensive rush on kicks, and fake punts. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. I actually thought it was great. Our league, it's funny that you bring that up because we've been playing like the 2007 rules, and then they went to P-Town, and you guys had the new rules. So before we started the season, you know, the refs met, we decided, you know, the girls need to decide which rules they want to use because, you know, when women, we get hot-headed. And then they pick and choose which sets of rules they want to use. You know what I mean? And then they start screaming at the refs. Well, it says here. It says here. Well, so we said, pick a set of rules, pick a year, and those are the ones we're using. So they decided to go with the 2010 rules, and I said, make sure you read them. And, you know, I pointed out some of the new things, and that was one of them. And there's something about a safety situation in there. And, you know, once you know, and anytime something happens about it, they – complain and they get all upset because they didn't take the time to go through the rules. And I think that's something in tournaments and your own league play that really needs to get emphasized is that whatever set of rules you agree on, make sure people know them and they understand them.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
one, it keeps the play safe, and two, then everybody's on the same page. But I love that rushing rule. I think it's great. I think it added gave a whole new dimension to defense.
Well, think about it. It was very thoughtful that we did it. And, you know, in the very beginning, we had some coaches complain that it was too dangerous. What happens when the defender rushes and she's going to get the ball kicked in her face? First of all, that's never happened. Second of all, I'm sure the athlete with her athleticism would divert, you know, or use her hands to protect her face if it came to that. But, you know, But Georgian, this is what we also develop in our rules. We develop a center, someone who snaps the ball at a greater distance, like the Canadians. The Canadians have been doing the rush on the kicks all these years, and their centers, they can.
And the center has to have the opportunity to. Well, and the center also has to have the opportunity to stand up before you can rush them. Correct. At least that's how we play. We make sure that whoever lines up, if you line up over the center, you have to give them a chance to get up out of the snap position before you can rush them.
I tell you what, listen, like, if you if you want to really think about that, no, we, I think our rule states she can't be, she can't block the back. So, but usually, Georgian, what a lot of players do is they aim for the slots, the gaps. They don't go face to face.
Well, that's the smart way to play.
But in our rules, I can't, I'm not sure how we word it. I don't think we clearly state that she must stand up because she could stay low. But
right.
But on that, back to that kick, you know, for the teams that I coach now, we have two centers. We have the center for the series, you know, on the offensive team, and when it's a punt situation, or not, but we have a player who doesn't snap the ball so good regularly, but she's got a long-distance snap. So now we take in a new skill, and that is snapping that ball and the kickers. And that was the purpose of this rule, implementing this rule.
I thought it was great.
Well, I'm glad you like it. And, you know, even if women don't like any of our rules, we would love to hear from them because we listen. We really do. We don't. I personally would like to develop the strongest female athletes, and that would entail using different skills for the game so that you can include different players. You know, you don't have to be big, small, fast. You can be a whole assortment in your physical physique. And that's what makes the team even more wonderful. You know, like, you know, when you have a track and field team, you know they're all going to be slim. You have a volleyball team. You know, you could stereotype. You know what would be a great concept is if we had these athletes from these different sports stand up on stage, and we would have to decide which sport is their sport. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yep.
Are you just yesing me? You can
say no. I'm not just yesing you. I'm trying to keep up with you.
I got news for you. We could do that at the Key West tournament. We'll line up all these athletes.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But a great experience. I want to share some of the greatest experiences, and that is years ago there was – well, I just told a story. Would you like to share? You want?
Go ahead.
You know, sometimes I don't realize. Well, we were talking about when we were younger what we're doing. We don't realize or appreciate fully what we're doing. And in the early years, I remember, you know, when we first started the Loose Women's Team, there was a 98-pound woman. I don't think she was 5 feet. I think she was. But we'll say she was 5 feet. That's a petite woman. And she's a businesswoman. She was a businesswoman, and Cindy was her name, Cindy Persisco. And she came up to me after the tournament was over, and she says, "Diane," the game was just over, Diane, I got to tell you, I just got the S-H-I-T on radio. I just got the kicked, and I fell off. I bought so many times, and she says, boom, boom, boom. But you know what she says? But I loved it. I loved it.
That's so
and
cute.
She says, she says, you know, all these years I would watch these women on the field, and I always wanted to be on the field and be one of them. She says, I did it. And that is where we got the saying, experience the excitement. You know,
that's a great point because there's a lot of women like that. I mean, Rhode Island has notoriously, when we travel, been one of the smallest teams.
You know, in Scandinavia, by the way, their athletes, they start the kids young and they either play their handball or soccer.
Right.
And then the kids focus on it. And by the time they're like 20, 22, their sports career is over. When I go for the last 12 years to Scandinavia, you know, these women, this is a new sport for them. So now these older women, it's okay for them to participate in flag football because it's a new sport. And it's interesting, one woman also shared with me this year what she really likes about the flag football is that she can play it as an older woman. And anyone can play. You know, I had a 62-year-old woman play on the loose women's team 1 year. And we'll take them. We'll take Dr. Doris Brown if she wants to play with us. Did you hear who Dr. Doris Brown was?
No.
She wrote that Smile for the Day article in the Forward Path. She's 90-something years. Yeah,
wow.
We'll take her. She, I don't know how loose of a loose woman she is. So anyway. But
that's funny.
As an official, why don't you shed some light on for our players so they can appreciate what it's like to be an official?
Funny that you ask that, because if you ask some of the officials what I was like when I was a player,
okay.
They say that I get back, you know that saying, you get back tenfold what you give? Well,
yeah.
Now I get back as an official. It's definitely a... to some degree, a thankless position.
Yeah.
But then in hindsight, you're appreciated. So I'd like to pitch that out there for anyone who's listening that's a player. And again, as a player, I was guilty of it. You know, your first instinct is to always argue the call, or you didn't see it, or so-and-so's holding me, and is to complain and get wrapped up in the heat of the moment instead of focusing on what you're doing. And that's one of the things I used to try and tell all the players, you know, every minute you're yelling at me or complaining at me, you're getting your team off track.
So
I try to reiterate that to them. And, you know, of course, they don't want to hear it in the moment, but I hope, you know, afterwards they kind of get it through their head that, you know, we're there to help the sport along and to keep everybody safe. And my attitude as an official is I'm going to let you play. You know, I'm not there to kind of set the pace for the game. I'm there to make sure the game is played safely and, you know, played according to the rules. But I'm not one of those people that is flag happy and constantly pulling my flag out. I believe in letting the female athletes play and making sure the game's equitable and giving everybody a chance to be competitive, whatever that means for their team.
You know what I teach my girls? I'm coaching 5 girls teams right now. And one of the first things I ever tell them is, the officials, I says, I promise you during the game, as we're playing, the official's going to make a bad call. I promise you. And I said, as a matter of fact, we may have the worst official in the world officiate our game, but that is part of the game. And that is what we have to learn how to deal with. I said, nobody should lose their head. Everybody stay in the game, just what you described. Keep your focus on the ball game, and that can make or break a great team. You know, you get one hot head on the team, distract the rest of the team, and
it's a contaminant.
But that's psychology of sports too, and that's why I think in our society, you know, we emphasize on the win. And you know, Nike had that lousy statue that said to take second is not the gold. What did Nike say during the Olympics 1 year? To take the silver is not the gold. What did they say?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, it was profound, and it was like, geez. You make it to the Olympics. First of all, you made it to represent.
Be proud of that.
And I don't care if you listen. I'd be happy
right.
to be in last place. But
yeah.
You know, so we overemphasize on the champion. And you know what? The reality is, everyone's got to lose. So I tell my girls, I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you're the best receiver in the world. You're not going to catch the ball every time, and you're going to drop it. And when you drop it, it's okay. All I ask is that you focus the next pass. That's it.
Well, and the beauty of football and flag football and is it truly is a team sport. You can be the best receiver. You can have the best receiver in the whole entire league on your team, but that doesn't mean your team's going to be the best team.
Yeah.
Because the rest of your team, you know, that receiver can't be the best they can be without the rest of the team.
You know,
and
I had
think
a group
that's
of
an
women,
important thing to keep in mind, too. And I, you know, back to your statement, teaching the kids young, I think these are the kinds of things that we need to focus on more, at least in Rhode Island, is getting the sport out to the younger kids. And that's the longevity of the league and starting this good kind of ethic younger.
You know, And I loved your care and concern for the girls. That definitely is your area, your forte. And I know that you're going to help us expand the girls. I want to share something with you I thought was interesting. I had a team of local women who didn't show up for practice. They just didn't show up for practice. And I knew when it was tournament time that they would be, you know, that they would show up for the tournament, but they don't show up for practice.
You mean, for practice. I thought you said classes. Okay.
Practice.
Yep.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, $5,000 flag football classes. So what I was working on, what I'm working on this year, I've invited the mothers to the girls who play flag football. I've invited women from business groups who've never played flag football who are not athletic. And we are working on a documentary. And what I hope to accomplish is proof that no matter what skill level your athletes are, if everyone shows up for practice, teamwork will be stronger than just pure athleticism. You know, how many teams have you been on where you have these hot dogs, you know, these players who they're
too
so
many.
Good? Yeah, too many.
Too many.
On those teams, if they didn't show up for practice, did you put them in the game?
No. When I coached, as a matter of fact, one of our Key West tournaments that I coached in, we were undefeated defensively. We lost in the semifinal 6-0 and got knocked out. And
oh,
I sat one of our best players because they decided they were going to be a hot dog. And people were not happy with either of us. But you know what? That's life, you know. I don't think that's fair to the rest of the team. I think it sets a poor example.
Yeah.
For women in general, I think it represents the state or the city or wherever the country you're representing poorly. And I personally don't tolerate it.
And, you know, it's hard, though, too, from our society because we're brainwashed. You know, this number one is so important. And it's hard for coaches to do that. I know it's hard because I see all the time, you know, you get a kid with an attitude and you let them stay in the game. And, you know, you have to, I guess it comes maybe with years of experience in coaching when you realize what you're going to end up with. And if you don't have control of your team, of your players in the beginning of the season, you're just not going to keep it all year round. And I think it's more important to have a nice team that works together. I don't care how we win or lose. But, you know, me and you, Georgia, we are so different. We are so much similar. I know that we've got tons of flag football players out there who might listen to this show and they, like, want to kill us. Or, like, they don't – they're like, no, man. They're like Vince Lombardi. If women wasn't so important, why do they keep score, you know?
Oh, somebody just I'm going to cut you off. Somebody just commented, 1996 Atlanta Summer Olympics. The Nike saying was, you don't win silver, you lose gold.
Right. Well, that was, and it was the 96 Atlantic Summer Olympics. Hey, that was
right.
The one where there was a bomb. There was a bomb.
Right.
But when that, and you know,
thank you for sharing that, whoever posted that. Yep.
And, you know, the kids, too, they're so impressed with Nike. You know, anything that Nike puts out, they want. And
well,
I don't know.
That's because a lot of the, look who endorsed it. Who started all that?
Who?
Michael Jordan.
Well, wait a second. Michael Jordan was...
He really got the Nike ads off the air, though, with the Air Jordans. And, you know, he really took basketball to another level of play. I mean, he was exceptional, and he was an icon with the kids.
Would you say that Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player ever?
I would not, but that's just my personal
opinion. Uh-huh. I'll tell you one thing that the guy did.
I think he's phenomenal, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he's the best.
He's the best. But he did something that I thought was very admirable. He retired. And then he came back and started that team in Washington, D.C., right?
Yes, he did. Yep.
And that was a losing team, weren't they?
They didn't fare very well. They did not fare very well.
But he didn't care. I mean,
nope. He's definitely a stand-up guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's definitely a stand-up guy. I just think that right now there's a lot of incredible players
in
the NBA.
Hey, listen, I want to tell you another one of our players had described Stacey Aggie. Stacey Aggie is a phenomenal athlete, flag football player. She also plays tackle, although she retired from tackle. Talk about, she's on the same page as us, you and I, about this thing. She would never cream the other team. You know, she would lay low. Yeah. And so anyway, so she had described to me what was the most memorable moment of all of her whole sports career. And I'm pretty sure it was the whole sports career. That was a game they had. It was her Richmond 1 team. They played in Key West, I think it was just in 07 or 08. Oh, geez. You know what? Her story's in the forward passage. The listeners just have to read that story because she describes it, and I forget what year it was. They were playing in the torrential rain against the New York team. New York.
The Sharks.
TNT or Long Island Sharks. Yeah, I can't remember now. I'm getting.
They were both phenomenal. Anyway. They were both phenomenally good teams.
Huh?
They played in the, they were both excellent teams from what I recall.
Tough teams. Well, listen, it was a torrential game, and there was 2 minutes left in the game. And for her, it was that touchdown pass, and then I think they scored the extra point. I don't think they have to score the extra point. It was a tie game up until that moment. And that was, and I'll tell you something though. I think everyone thought that the New York was going to take it. New York was awesome. They were so tough throughout the whole tournament. They are a very physical team.
Yes, they were very quick from what I remember too. Very good athletes.
Yeah, and so New York was thought to be the team that would win, and boom, here comes Virginia, and that makes. Exciting tournament. Listen, you know, whenever you have that last minute or two, that excitement, you know, when boom, the other team comes from behind. That's nice to see. Yeah.
Tell me more about this documentary you have going on. That intrigues me. You only touched upon that and then you moved on. I think that sounds like a fascinating project.
Okay, so anyway, so we've filmed these women, a little intro. We had asked, what's your name, where are you from, have you ever played flag football before? A few of the women have. One of the women was one of our girl, years ago she was one of our girl players. So here in Key West, we are planting the seed. We have five local teams and then up the Keys. So as they get older, we're going to have many women's teams. Something else that we need to address. George, and that's up your alley. Maybe that's something that we should talk about.
I actually talked to one of the local restaurant owners around that lives nearby where Jen and I, who actually just signed on and is listening, go all the time, and she would be interested. She wants me to keep her in the loop on that. She wants to sponsor a team, a coach a team, or do something. She would love to get involved and get something going for the girls here in Providence.
Excellent. Something
her and I are going to be talking about for maybe starting over the summer.
Very good. And then we'll highlight that, too. We'll highlight that section. Women's leagues who incorporate or include a girls' division, because that's how you're talking about keeping the sport going. That is the biggest way that they can do it, by keeping the sport going. But you asked about the documentary. So we asked these women just a little bit about the background, and I got to tell you, it's hysterical. I'm going to say this. It's okay. We practiced the snaps. It was horrific. The center was terrible. The QB taking the snap was terrible, and it was just perfect though, because we're filming before the practices begin, in the middle, and then during the tournament. And after the tournament is over, we get to interview these women. So how'd you like it? You think this is for you? What did you learn? What did you hate? Et cetera, et cetera. You know, these videos, they are they're history. And
I'm a huge history buff. History's important.
Oh, me. That's
how we learn.
Talk about. We have to. I got to admit something, though, to our listeners. Through the years, and I think we have just maybe 6 minutes left. Oh, 5 minutes left. Okay.
Yeah.
Georgia, you know, IWFFA for all these years, you know, in the early years, I did most of this stuff, and I didn't keep up with it properly. Now that we have our Committee of Women, people are going to see some astonishing sections on our website. We're going to have the history for all these years, awards, scores, rankings, et cetera, and I think that teams and leagues are going to be very grateful because it's nice. It's nice to see the history, you know, and then get your name up there and to see how you were through the years. Like we talked about earlier, the older you get, then you realize and you can appreciate much more. Listen, before we leave, we've got about we've got 6 minutes left. Georgia, you want? I'm going to announce some end-of-the-show announcements. They're pretty basic.
Okay.
Would you like to, first, I want to thank you very much for coming on the radio.
Yeah, sorry I was late and I was having a few technical glitches on my end, but I finally figured it out.
All right, and sorry that I'm such a, I talk a mile a minute and I didn't hear you try to get in there. So
that's okay.
I hope you're going to join us for some more shows. You know, we are monthly.
Absolutely.
Every Thursday. Would you like to say anything out there to our listeners?
No, I am glad to be involved at a different level, and I'm really impressed with everything that you've done and glad to be a part of where this is going. I think it's going to be a fabulous thing for women and especially for youth to come. I think today's society, there's a lot of obstacles against kids today, and as far as women have come in this world, I think we still have a long way to go, and I think this is one great way to help women get some of the skills they need to get where they deserve to be. So,
yeah, very good.
That.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you. And I agree wholeheartedly with you. And now I just want to let our listeners know that they can download the show. Just go to our website and there's a link to download. I want to let everyone know, too, that IWFSA is adding, we have listed already our international circuit of tournaments for 2011. We're going to add regional tournaments across the United States. We welcome any leagues or groups, teams that want to host a sanctioned IWSFA tournament. We just were asked to add one in Chicago, and we want our goal is as many regional tournaments as we can for 2011. Just email us. We need to know by December 31st. I want to let advertisers know, if you'd like to advertise, we will mention your business on our talk radio show. And we have a sponsor. We have Yadabee. Yadabee is a company that has beautiful merchandise. It's a new company owned by two women. If you go to yadabee.com, you're going to see some great wear, everyday casual wear. And so that's yadabee.com. I want to let everyone know that in 2011, IWFSA will start to sanction leagues, and we offer huge benefits. Some of them include part of your membership dues. We're not increasing the membership rate. You'll get medical insurance for each player. And from your league gets to sit on the steering committee. We'll rank your league nationwide. We'll rank your teams internationally. Those are just some of the benefits. We just let out the Forward Pass magazine, and you can download it if you go to our website, Forward Pass. It's a beautiful edition. Many thanks to our wonderful, wonderful writers and graphic artists. And our editor, by the way, I failed to say, Connie Tarpley was our editor for the magazine, so it's well written. And our promotional tour, this is a big one. We've gotten a lot of hits. Now, listen, we originally scheduled for 2 months across the United States. And, by the way, Georgia, we're coming up to the Northeast. We're going up to Rhode Island and Massachusetts.
Fantastic.
Any group, if there's any woman out there who doesn't have any flag football in her city, we'll come and help you start a team, a league. If you have a team or league, we'll help support you. We'll offer flag football clinics so that you can attract new players, new teams to your league. But we really are filling up, and we would love to. We can extend it. We can do anything we want because it's our organization. So
right.
just email us at iwffa@iwffa.com. The cheapest prices for belts and flags, $60 a dozen. It doesn't get cheaper. That is our rates. Now, listen, Kelly McGillis Classic, the 20th annual, Loose Women and Teens until December 31st. That's the absolute deadline. You're more than welcome. Georgia, I want to thank you so much. And we're going to
thank you for having me.
Well, you've been lovely. You were wonderful. And everyone, happy holidays. Happy New Year. The third Thursday of every month. We'll see you next month in January. Happy New Year.
Okay. Happy New Year. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.